May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Once, when my sister and I were little, we came to my father locked in a vicious argument. One of us, I don't recall which, had given something to the other, but the other had not reciprocated. We looked to our dad to arbitrate. But rather than act as judge, my father taught us a principle with which to resolve this and future disputes. A gift, he said, is freely given. The giver relinquishes their say in what the recipient will do with it or do in return for it. A contract, however, explicitly states the obligation and holds the other to what is expected in the exchange. So ask yourselves, was this a gift or a contract? We quickly picked up on this principle, but it also somewhat backfired. It became a game of tricking the other into giving a gift and then dancing away from the sister chanting, "Gift, not a contract! Gift, not a contract!" when she looked to you for something in return. We learned to be clear in what we expected from each other. We also learned that giving gifts leaves you vulnerable. You have to trust in the generosity of the recipient. The ultimate lesson, of course, was that it is a mix of gifts and contracts that make for a strong sisterly bond. The true recipe contains both the building of trust through obligations seen through and genuine affection born out of gratitude for the generosity of the other. Robin Wall Kimmerer is a Native American plant scientist from the Potawatomi Nation, and the author of the breathtakingly beautiful book, Braiding Sweetgrass. She believes that choosing to see creation and our lives as a series of gifts can have a profound transformational effect on our relationships. In the indigenous philosophy that shaped Kimmerer's childhood, gifts are freely given, something for nothing. But that does not mean they make one free. In her view, the contractual exchange of property comes with a bundle of rights. This is mine, this is what I can do with it. Freedom comes when parity is established, the agreed-upon contract is ended, the two parties move away from each other to do what they please. But gifts come with a bundle of responsibilities to care for the gift and its giver, and to give it forward to others. The fundamental nature of gifts, Kimmerer writes, is that they are in constant motion. And through the movement of gifts, parity is never reached. But the connections between giver and recipient and their wider community is strengthened. For the gifts multiply, passing from hand to hand, generating what Kimmerer calls feeling bonds. An unexpected gift creates in us sensations of surprise, perhaps unworthiness, and gratitude, precisely because they are freely given, unearned, undeserved. Overwhelmed with joy, we choose how to respond from that joy in our own way. We choose how to keep the relationship alive, healthy and whole. For Kimmerer, gifts and contracts present us with two ways of seeing the world and its resources, two different stories that we can tell about our lives. For her, only one of the stories leads to restoration and enough for all. When we tell the story of Jesus' birth and the three wise men, do we tell a story of contracts or a story of gifts? Matthew is keen to prove that Jesus' origin story is made up of promises kept by God. A star comes to show the wise men from the east that God has made good on a promise from long ago to bring a Messiah into the world. The wise men set out on a journey to complete their side of the prophecy. Nations streaming to the new sovereign, bearing the tribute that is his due. But there is another way to tell this story. Wise men in the east are moved in their hearts to seek out this gift of all gifts from God. And when they reach the child, the wise men are overwhelmed with joy. They give freely of themselves, opening their chests, offering the preciousness inside. Transformed by their encounter, the wise men return by another road. But perhaps Kimimur needs another look. Perhaps we do not have to choose between the two stories. Perhaps it is all one story. The wise men recognize the Christ child first as a promise fulfilled, but open to the mystery of the unbelievable generosity of God, they meet the baby as the greatest gift from God ever given. And in their gifts, the foreigners reveal a way to relationship with God for all peoples. The covenant has not been cast aside, but opened wide. All there is to do is to be thankful and to keep the gift in motion. When we tell the story of Jesus' death and the cross, do we speak of a contract or a gift? In one story, we tell of Jesus' blood as a ransom paid on our behalf. The cross becomes a contract fulfilled, freeing us from slavery of sin and death. In another story of the cross, we tell of God's grace, freely given, unearned, undeserved, a gift that can never be repaid. Ultimately, these stories are not in conflict, though. They can be told as one story. We were freed by a God who keeps promises. We have been given a gift whose only response can be to give and give again. The theology of contract imbues the Episcopal faith. We begin from the principles and obligations of our baptismal covenant, leaning on them to guide us our whole lives long. We recite the Creed, God's promise to us each Sunday. But the theology of gifts runs deep as well in our stories, in our faith, in our liturgy. Each Sunday we say, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. The gifts of our lives are not ours, but God's, meant to be cared for and given again. More than 15 years ago, a classmate asked me why I wanted to become a minister. I responded honestly that it was the best thing it seemed I could do with the particular gifts God had given me. And now, 6 days from my ordination to the priesthood, my answer is the same. This giving of myself and my gifts back in the service of God, it is the only thing I can think to do. Yet in doing so, I and you with me will draw from our baptismal covenant to make a new vow to one another and to God. As lovers of God, as God's beloved, we stand on the firm ground of God's steadfastness. From there, we begin our various journeys, whether it be marriage or priesthood or parenthood or life itself. We use our vows with God as our guiding stars. But the wise men also remind us, as adorers of the Christ child, we are to be open to the unexpected goodness of God, gifts whose only response can be to give them forward again and again, opening the way to relationship to all. Gifts and contracts, contracts and gifts, binding us together, setting us free. Amen.
Amen.